Okay, it is April, the second week in April, and as always, we find ourselves in Terre Haute with Mayor Bennett. Thanks again for having us here.
It's good to have you, Joe.
We're here on a Monday this week, and just today, this morning, you broke ground for redevelopment of the former Icon building here in Terre Haute. It's about, 165 loft-style market-rate apartments to be called Riverfront Lofts. This is a big deal, but on many different levels, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say that's exactly right. Yeah. You know, a few years ago, ISU bought the property. It's last used as a trucking company, warehouse kind of a thing, huge building, just a big monster, big dinosaur sitting along the river. And they were hopeful that maybe they could turn it into some housing. And you just couldn't put the package together. It just really wasn't going to work. And so they held onto the property thinking that there's some way this could happen, or otherwise we're going to have to tear it down. And so over the last couple of years, some really neat things have happened. And with the help of the state of Indiana, with their dinosaur credits, to be able to take an old factory, if you will, and turn it into something, the City Council and the Redevelopment Commission worked very quickly to put together a TIF district to surround that building and create the financial environment for core redevelopment to go, you know, to the bank and fund this project. And so today was kind of an exciting thing, because I don't think people realized how many different players it took to pull this one off. There were just a lot of unique things about it, and that everything came together when it didn't look like it was going to in the beginning. And so it's an exciting project for downtown Terre Haute, for the riverfront. It'll be our first housing project right on the river for Indiana State, because now it's out of their hands, but it's right next to their new track and right on the western edge of the campus. And I mean, it just brings so many different quality of life kinds of things to our community, and just some real high quality housing.
You know, when you talk about the riverfront development, I mean, I guess you can see how when you're bringing that many apartments along there, it brings foot traffic, it brings activity, which then could spur other types of what...
That's what's going to happen, because, you know, something has to go first. And so there's a trail that runs along the river, but, you know, it's a passive trail. People have to drive or walk there, ride their bike and use it. But now you're going to place, you know, 160 plus apartments right on the river. Where all of a sudden, you know, the demand will be there. Okay, what am I going to do when I leave the house today? And so that just breeds other opportunities down the road. And when you have private development coming to the table saying, we think we can make money, we can make this work, then it just kind of gets other people thinking the same thing. And that's why we're seeing a lot of different projects, but this one being on the river is just very special.
What types of infrastructure work will the city need to do? Because that's an area that hasn't been used in quite a while. And now you're talking, like I just mentioned, foot traffic and so forth to keep that area safe and so forth.
No, that's a great question. There's a couple things we're doing. You know, the First Street Boulevard is something that we're working on that runs right in front of it, where we're fixing that up. It used to be an old railroad track bed. And so that's one piece of the project. And then the rest of it would be some lighting and some sidewalks, some ADA compliant ramps, things like that, a little bit of landscaping. So you're not talking about big dollar items, but you're talking about things that are really important to somebody who's moving into a brand new apartment. They need to be able to walk and bike away from there and of course drive in and out of there with quality infrastructure. And so that'll be our component and our contribution to that.
Just kind of going along with the riverfront, we've been talking about the ongoing Vigo County Jail. Some new renderings came out last week or so. What's your opinion on that?
Well, the renderings look good, I think. And and it's one of those things, I think people have this jail vision in their mind, kind of like our old jail over here, where, oh my gosh, you know, there's a jail. And it just doesn't look like that anymore. I mean, that's just not the nature of the beast. You know, they try to make it look more like an office type building or something that blends in a little bit better than maybe people did when they built them 50, 100 years ago, obviously. And so I think that helps from a visual perspective to get people to say, oh, okay, I see. It's not a bunch of barbed wire and, you know, bars everywhere. And I think that helps a lot to ease people's minds about what it's going to look like. You know, there's still obviously debate about the location along the river, and that will continue here, I'm sure, for the next coming weeks. But, everybody's weighing in on it. They're giving their opinion, and I think that's healthy, and the commissioners are listening. And so I think the sooner we get going with this, though, at the end of the day, is better for all of us. And I think they're moving along on their timeline, and, you know, we need a new jail. So we've got to get there as quickly as we can.
Yeah, and actually, that just follows in what I was going to ask next for those, you know, who may have not heard. much about this since the last time we talked about a month ago. What's changed? Where is it right now?
Well, they kind of have a 30-month window now. You know, that's kind of what's been established and agreed to, that the building will be open 30 months from now. And that sounds like a long time, but it's not. You know, anything can go wrong and slow things down, from weather to, you know, who knows what. And so they're starting to face, you know, a tighter and tighter window. And so final decisions are going to be made in the coming months. And then my would hope would be that construction would start, you know, later this year.
Has anything moved forward on funding for that?
Well, that's next. So
is that next?
Yeah,
okay.
You know, there's a county council meeting this week. I think the debate will continue. At least the project's kind of moving along here now, but before you can actually start that construction, obviously you've got to have that financial component in place. And so that's kind of the next, and what I would see is the major final step on how to finance it. So I think they got the concept down. They're just trying to hone in on what the final product looks like.
And this all stems from the fact that the jail is overcrowded. I mean, mm-hmm. This has to be done.
It does. And, you know, some people are saying, well, maybe we don't need a biggest jail. Maybe we can put people in other type of settings. Well, that may be true, but there's a cost to do that. And I think that if we're prudent as a community, we do need to find other alternative, you know, places to put people. Not everybody needs to be in the jail. People need mental health and addiction services and other types of services, medical services. And so the key is having a state-of-the-art location that you can provide a variety of those type of services in, where it's just not feasible where they're at now. There's just no room.
You know, I did notice you have a couple new plans either looking to move or expand into Terre Haute, as some tax abatements were discussed last week. But if anything I remember from our talks here is that they're still paying taxes though to the city.
Right. You know, anytime you get a tax abatement, a lot of people say, why would you give a business a tax abatement? Well, you do it because you want them to make their investment here. If they have multiple locations in the United States, why Terre Haute? Why should they do it here? Well, they look for some kind of a government incentive. You know, we all understand that everybody's looking for some assistance, but the key is they're still paying taxes. And so they could either not do it here and leave what they have and continue to pay what they're paying, or they can make this big investment and pay about half the taxes they would normally pay over a 10-year period. And it's good for everybody. Usually it leads to an increase in jobs. They're creating work around here for construction companies and laborers to do the work that they need, whether it's installing equipment or doing a building expansion or whatever. So there's all kinds of benefits that come out of that, and showing that our good faith effort here locally, that we're willing to partner with them and provide them with a tax incentive.
As we move forward from the State House too, road funding debate is still going forward. It looks like though the governor would have the authority to issue tolls on major interstates throughout the state. One of the items that seems to be consistent as the weeks go by, and that, you know, of course, Terre Haute, we talked about this before, but, you know, Terre Haute has I-70 that runs by, that actually linking to Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Is that something that still kind of on your mind, that I-70 right in your backyard could have a toll?
I'm not a big supporter of the tolls. And so what will happen is a lot of trucks and other traffic will not pay the toll, and they'll come over on US 40, which means they'll come right through the center of town, and then they will begin to put a burden on our roads that we're going to have to pay for, you know, and the state will not pay for. And so, you know, I understand the need for revenue, get it completely, but tolling the main, you know, east-west interstate in the United States, and for people from Terre Haute who want to drive to Indianapolis having to pay a toll, I mean, it really just seems like an additional burden that there ought to be. I mean, originally that wasn't the biggest part of it, so we knew there were other ways to do this. I'm just not a big fan of tolling Interstate 70.
Mm-hmm. The other part of that would be, would Terre Haute see any of that money?
Yeah.
If there are tolls.
You know, without the devil's in the details, I guess, of what this bill really, how it gets implemented, you know, you can read the bill and you can say, okay, well, NDOT and the governor and others have the power to decide what they're going to do with that, but how will that money filter back? You know, will it go directly to NDOT to furnish, you know, what they need to do all the state highways, when 80% of the roads in Indiana are local roads? And so, you know, that stuff is expensive, so is the other side. So we all need revenue to be able to deal with maintaining our infrastructure.
Your State of the City address Wednesday at 11 at the Vigo County Library. Is anybody welcome?
Yeah, everybody's welcome. We usually have a pretty good turnout for that. I had to delay it a week. I was very sick last week, and I tell you, I had a really bad flu. And so looking forward to that this week, you know, to be able to tell the story. There's so many great things going on in this community, and a lot of times, you know, the negative things kind of rise to the surface sometimes, but there's a lot of positive things happening and just a lot of excitement. And I want to be able to share a lot of that, kind of how we wrapped up last year and what people should look forward to for the rest of this year. And just, I always look forward to doing the State of the City address. It's always a lot of fun for me, and just a time to really tell a positive story.
What will you be able to, or do you know, are you going to speak on any of the budget situation and where that is right now?
Yeah, we'll kind of talk about how we finished, you know, 16 out, and how we project 17 is going to look towards the end of the year, which is going to be positive again, making progress. You know, whether we get any public safety load or not will have a big bearing on how quickly we can resolve some of our financial issues. But, you know, 16 was much better than 15, and 17 will be much better than 16. So we continue to make significant progress.
You know, I read where, and this was a little while ago, but I read where a group of concerned people wanted to restore, Ray Park Golf Course Clubhouse due to the memories that they had there over the years and wanted to come back and see it as it was. Can you tell me a little bit more about that area? That's new to me.
Yeah, well, Ray Park is our golf course that's right across from Terre Haute South on the south side of Terre Haute, and it has an old clubhouse that was, you know, built many, many years ago, and it's, as you can imagine, over time it's deteriorated a bit. Still usable, you know, it's functional, but in order to preserve it and keep it for another 100 years, it's going to need some major work, probably about $1 million worth of work. And so this group of private citizens have come together, and they're raising funds and trying to do some things to help get the money in place so we can do that. And it would be a great tribute to, I mean, Ray Park is really kind of a neat place where people learn to play golf. It's our smaller golf course, but it's been a place where, you know, the youth and so many people have kind of gone and had their first experience with golf. And so a lot of them have these lasting memories, and they just love to see that clubhouse restored. It's going to get on the National Historic List this year, later this year. And so we're doing all the things right now to position it for grants and all the different kinds of financial resources in the future. And I fully support them to continue to work hard to bring those private dollars that we can match up with some other public money later.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to ask. If the city had any type of help to provide.
But we'll be able to facilitate a couple things. I think through our edit fund, we'll be able to help a little bit. But then through just being the resource for some of these federal and state grants, you know, we have to be kind of the conduit for that. So I think it really will. I mean, there's a lot of energy there, and so I'm excited about the future.
So it's spring in Terre Haute. What are some of the things going on right now?
Well, just getting ready to ramp up road projects, really,
yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
I tell you, it's, boy, it goes so quickly. Just when you see you stop in the fall and then you start planning for the next year, that spring comes really quick. And so paving work and 7th Street, 1st Street, the major Margaret Avenue, two different projects, one out east and then one kind of in the central city. And so you're going to see some work happening. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit of a, you know, detriment to the daily travel at times, but short-lived kind of a, you know, burden on you to get a much better road after that. So we'll be kicking a lot of those off here in the next couple of months and wrapping those up in October, and just another year of progress and trying to, you know, maintain and build our infrastructure.
Were you able to have any extra monies from the winter that maybe didn't use on snow, salt that you can
a little bit,
do a little bit
but you're
more?
Kind of restricted on what you can do with those funds.
Are you?
That's what's
okay.
A little frustrated. You know, our LRS fund is an example. We can only use it on materials like that. So we can't go buy asphalt. One of the things the legislature needs to help make flexible in the future, but still it will help us. We'll be able to shift and do some things and free up some money in another part of the budget then. So yeah, it was a good two winters in a row we've had that saved us money. And so that's always helpful.